welcome one and all to the Kernow Connection, your little neural pathway to the southwest of the UK. That is Cornwall, all the way over across the pond from the good folks at speakfreeradio.com that are kindly hosting us. This show is exclusive currently to Speak Free Radio, although you will find it on other outlets as well. So, anyway, tonight, or today, or this morning, your hosts will be Malefica Scott and Shelley Tasker. I think Shelley's with us now. Are you there, Shelley?
I am. Good evening, Mr. Scott and
how
listeners.
Are you?
Very good, thank you.
You sound chirpy.
Chirpy, yep. Look forward to chatting to you on a Wednesday. It's the highlight of my week.
I'm sure it must be.
Of course it is.
Why else would you be here?
I know.
Well, before the chat commences, I should say that we here on the Kernow Connection reserve the rights to all our words and all our thoughts. We do this because it's impossible to reserve the rights to anyone else's, a thought worth bearing in mind for any practitioner of law. Welcome one and all.
Oh, I like that. That was a new one.
That was a new one, yeah. Actually, it's a very new one. So new, it's only a demo. So
Is that your band?
That was my good friend Jeff and I and stuff doing things, which was quite fun. I'm trying my hand at slide guitar and it's an awful lot of fun. So There we go.
Good stuff.
Debuted on this show, but it's only a demo, as I say.
No, it sounded good, yeah. I like the style. Not too heavy.
No, not too heavy. And Jeff's great with his lyrics as well, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. So, yeah, how are you? What have you been up to? You've just had an interesting show.
It's been nice. what have I been up to? I've just been thinking about that because I knew you would ask me that. And I'm just like, where is the week gone? What have I actually been doing?
Yeah. I have a weekly catch-up with Andy. I have a weekly catch-up with you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. We've been doing bits of DIY. I think I've been learning to relax a lot. I've been reading a lot. You know, this is the first year, like, Piran is, what, 10 and a half now, and I've really felt it this holiday that I'm not needed anymore. No. Well, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I mean,
absolutely.
Last time I was like this, I was like, I want a baby. So I got a horse. Anyway, I'm not getting a horse and I'm not having a baby. So I will just learn
to... need a good hobby.
Yeah, I do, exactly. So I will just learn to enjoy that bit of extra time. I can remember when I felt it, you know, when Wesley was this age. So it's a strange thing, but it's another parenting moment. Letting go a bit as well, because I said to you last week about the whole homeschooling thing. And, you know, I've had to be a bit, this screen time and stuff, I've had to let him just get on Maleficus because his friends are chatting online. That's a social thing. He is learning as well. What else is he going to do? He's not going to go to the park by himself. Do you know what I mean? And I think I've been so stuck because I hate the fact, in my ideal world, he would be learning the guitar, he would be reading. And I've realised a lot this last week that I'm actually wanting him to do the things that I think he should be doing and I want him to do, not what he wants to do. And, you know, it's a real hard one, isn't it? Because I think you have
difficult.
To show them away a bit, but you have to kind of, I believe now in like letting him lead the way with what he's passionate and interested in.
Well,
gaming.
You've got to allow him. You've got to allow him to peddle the arse that God gave him.
Yes,
but it doesn't hurt to put things in front of him. And the problem is, yeah, today's society it's such a massive distraction. Today's society. There's so many pretty colours and so many distractions that you can carry around with you in your back pocket, quite literally. That adults are being drawn into the same thing, you know what I mean? Grown adults can't put the bloody phones down, the screen time down.
It's,
and
I think, as you know,
it's a pet hate of mine.
I know, and I've really got into reading the last few weeks. I've read about four books.
Oh, okay, so I'm nearly finished Phil Hadley's first book.
Oh, okay, is it any good? Well, don't you
yeah,
can't say
great.
No, can you?
I'm not,
that was crap.
No,
you're not listening.
The thing is, it's fictional, as I said, so I don't do fiction. But it's a nice bit of escapism, and I know through, you know, obviously having spoken to, we've both spoken to Phil, I know that everything in there that he's talking about, you know, certain preparations and airfields and all the sort of all the nitty gritty is like real history. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of nice. It's well done.
Good. I think a bit of escapism is good, though. I read a book like that a couple of weeks ago, and it's such easy reading, you know. And it was nice because I thought usually I'm reading books like educational sort of stuff, you know. And yeah, just to get lost in a bit of a story, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's I suppose sometimes why I do computer games. I mean, normally I'm doing sort of flight sims and things like that, so it's a bit different. It's a bit more, well, it's only very slightly more technical than normal computer games. But
I've turned into that old woman that goes to bed, you know. And I mean, I used to have the TV on every night, and now I go in and like read for an hour.
Oh, it's so much more healthy. Not on the eyes, but it's
No, I've just enjoyed it, and I'm reading now Lord of the Flies. I've never read that.
The
film.
Right.
So, very interesting. It's reminding me a lot so far. I'm probably about halfway through about like George Orwell's Animal Farm, just the making of society sort of thing. Quite interesting.
It is a dissection of society.
I never studied it at school or anything, so
nor did I. I had Animal Farm as a book to read at school. That was compulsory reading. Everyone had to read Animal Farm, which I think is a good thing. But I think everyone because once you've been through the book, I don't know how it was when you went to school, but when I went to school, once you'd read through the book, you all got to sit down and watch the film as a class.
Right.
And because obviously it's animated and everyone get, you know, and there's all the sad faces of the animals as the horse gets taken away to be made into glue and all that kind of thing. And people get then more attached to the characters in the film than they do the representations in the book, which I think it's a bit of a misnomer, isn't it, the cartoon in some respects.
Well, actually, perhaps I will try that with my son, and this is what I find hard to see, because he really doesn't like reading. He's not bothered at all.
I didn't like reading until I was in my 30s.
Well, there you go. And that was why I originally bought Lord of the Flies. I thought I could read that to him. We could read it together. I have all these ideas. But no, he's like, why have you got that book? I told you I didn't want to read it. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll read it myself. But
So you bought it anyway, Mum. Yeah, I think your first statement about, letting go a bit.
Yeah, probably, I know. Probably quite prudent. I have all these ideas. Well, he's very stuck in his ways, and it's like things that I want him to watch. He gets very bored unless it's something that he wants to watch, when he does watch.
That's all of us, isn't it? I mean, I'm not being funny. If you came round and said, oh, God. Mr. Scott, I've got all my holiday snaps to show you, I'd just be like, yay, yay, shall I go put the kettle on then? Yeah. You can start going through them with the dog, but while I'm making tea.
Yeah, well, we did strike on a bit. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I've just learned from reading that book about home education and stuff like that, that I've got to be directed by him and taking the little things that they're learning all the time. We managed to watch half a documentary on the Penley lifeboat disaster and people loves boats and everything. But half an hour's enough. And he was like, did that happen down here? And I'm like, yeah. So the aim is that we will go down there and see where it was launched.
I'll tell you what, you should keep him up on recent news in Cornwall. There's been an amazing rescue happened recently within all the storms. There's a guy helicopter winched off of a yacht that was stricken. All very nerve-wracking stuff. By all means, folks, go out there and look up the sea rescue in Cornwall. It'll be on YouTube.
I didn't. People keep saying, "Have you seen this? Have you seen that?" And I'm like, "No, I'm a reader now. I don't go on Facebook much now. Hey ho, this is the new me."
Well, as far as being directed by him, it's more of a case of picking up you using your adult wisdom and intuition to understand what things he's keying into. I don't think it's necessarily being directed by him, but it's picking up on the little signs that give you the little key triggers to say, ah, he loves it. I mean, with my daughter, when it was apparent that my eldest was not going to go to school, as I've said before, I knew one thing she loved doing was drawing and artwork, and I just went out and spent like a load of money on just art stuff, nice paper, pencils of all different grades, charcoal pencils, these alcohol pens that you can use like spray paints and colour over each other, all these kind of weird and wonderful things. And I just kept throwing it at her, And
yeah, well, we've
she
joined, like,
it up.
Yeah. Well, his thing is Lego, apart from gaming. And we've joined this, it's called Borrow a Brick, and you pay a monthly subscription. And then you pay an extra £5 every time you order a set. It comes in the post, you build it, take it apart, send it back. And the problem is now, you've got to have been a member for 3 months until you can have Technic Lego. So I tried choosing one and I couldn't get through, and I messaged the man and he messaged back and explained. And then Piran sent him a message saying, please trust me, I was in the Lego Champions at school 2 weeks ago. My mum trusts me with big Lego sets. I've built this and that.
But, bless him.
I know. So he already knows. I couldn't believe that, he was like, I want to write a message back. He was polite and everything, but he's just got to wait another few weeks. But, Lego and gaming. And then I sat down the other day and I said, right, come on, show me how to play Roblox. And I sat down and I thought, gosh, actually, there's a lot of learning in this game as well. Yeah,
massive
and we had
amount
fun.
Of hand-eye
yeah.
coordination. Massive amount of hand-eye coordination with all computer games. And, a lot of these Roblox games, because my eldest, who's now 21, was into Roblox when he was a kid.
Right.
So it's been around a long time. And a lot of these are skill-based, either knowledge-based or skill-based, like puzzles, a lot of the games that they play.
Yeah, yeah.
And most of them are jumping puzzles, which are just the most infuriating thing in the world, So you have to work out which series of jumps to make, and if you fail, you fall all the way down to the bottom and you have to start again until you get to a checkpoint. Yeah.
But we I've had good fun with it, yeah. And I mean, yeah. He plays Minecraft a lot as well, and some of his buildings in that are just amazing. You know, and it's all maths working it all out. So,
of course it is.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just...
My son used to replicate pixel art in Minecraft in right. statues that were like 30 or 40 feet tall in the game. Do you know what I mean? So, and there was a lot of... There was a lot of maths involved in that, working out how many squares, and, you know, and it was all done by eye, I suppose, in some respects. But then he'd probably go back to counting and looking, and yeah, he was that good at it when he was a kid that he even managed to convince one of his teachers to do his history project as a castle made in Minecraft, which he brought in as a video.
Wow. Yeah, great stuff.
He did have
But that's it. It's still doing that. And you would say, like, you know, to the other children, how many of you can do that? You know, lots of them can't. I know you've got your sporty people. Piran's not sporty. He might become sporty one day if he finds something, but he gives up so quick. We had a game of badminton yesterday at the Leisure Centre, and after 2 minutes, it's like, I'm done, because he wasn't any good at it. And it's like, you can't be good straight away. you know, but that's kids for you. But we're getting there, or more should I say, I'm getting there, you know?
Yeah, it'll just snap. Something, the penny will drop, and it'll be like, right, this is the direction we're going in. And as soon as you get that first little run in, the road will fork, and you'll have more options than just one, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like, I've persisted with him playing the guitar. He doesn't practice, but he goes every week and does his lesson. And that's what I love about kids, because they still remember it one lesson a week. And I think if you did apply yourself, but I don't want to force him, but I don't want him to give up those lessons, because I think if you just go a bit longer, you'll get to the fun part, you know? It's just so hard, because you don't want to force them. But I used to play the piano really well, and I was at that age, I wanted to go out and play, and I begged my parents to give up, and in the end they let me, but I wish they never did. I wish they made me.
Yeah, but that's with hindsight now. That's
yeah, so that's why that's I'm like keep are. Pushing. Yeah. Yeah, I'll keep
yeah, but
paying.
That's nothing to do with his, you know, his side of things. Yeah, that's you thinking, I wish that hadn't happened to me, and I'm going to make sure that it doesn't happen for him. But then maybe he's in the same situation you were when you were a kid, and maybe later on he'll have.
Well, maybe later on, yeah.
Maybe later on he'll think, yeah, I wish I'd kept up with that, and then take it up.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, I also find, I have to say, the problem I find with guitar lessons, or any musical lessons, so to speak, is that it's all sort of very technical and reading music and this is how to do this and this. And whereas really, all the tuition that I've done with guitar for grown people as well as little people, I've always just said, what tunes do you like?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just go home, I learn them, and I come back and I say, the first kid I ever taught to play guitar was 10 years old, and he wanted to learn I Get Knocked Down by Chumbawamba, for goodness sake. You know, it's like three chords, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But he loved it, and he was away. And as soon as you know, it's that getting that inspiration, that, like, wow, that sounds just like my hero who's playing that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've decided I am going to teach him tomorrow Drunken Sailor, because he loves that song, and we play it in the car, and it's two simple chords. But for Piran, quite often I'll say, right, we'll do that, and it takes him 5 minutes, and then he's chuffed to bits. But he doesn't want to do it. But the end result after 5 minutes, he'll be absolutely thrilled. I said, you can take a guitar on scout camp, and, you know, you can play that around the fire, and everyone can sing. Anyway, yeah, we'll go with the flow and see.
You have to
what
get
happens.
Him to learn Kumbaya as well.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if I told you this, but I have put myself forward on a Monday night to be a scout helper.
Have you?
I have, because that's the new me.
Oh, my word.
I know. If I'm dropping him off at 7 and picking him up at 9, I may as well stay and be part of the community, you know?
Absolutely.
Because I love that. I love that. When you pick them up, I mean, some of them, they're scraggy as hell, honest to God. But they're boys. I mean, girls scouts as well now, they do that. But I just love that smelly old hall that's been there since I was a kid. And they all meet up, and they're just lovely people, you know? It's community, yeah.
Yeah. They also still do, like, the Arcala chant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, wow. Because I was in the Cub Scouts when I was a kid. Right. My scoutmaster was an odd bod, but he wasn't a weirdo. So...
Well, that was my first fear when he started Cubs. I was like, are they all a bunch of paedophiles?
Are they all a bunch of weirdos? You hear about it all day. But this is done really to discredit. The things like this happen, and it discredits. You know, it only takes, there's a lot in the old phrase, it only takes one bad apple to spoil the basket.
Absolutely.
You know, when you said, Shelley, when you said, you know, I've given up my Monday nights, blah, 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 I've signed up for, I thought you were going to say that you'd managed to get your chance to sit on the panel for police misconduct hearings in Cornwall.
Hey, is that a new thing?
That's a position up for grabs at the moment. The police are looking for people to sit for independence, to sit on their police misconduct hearings for Devon and Cornwall.
Oh, that could be exciting.
I will. Well, I thought you might be interested, so I saved you the link.
Yeah, sounds right up my street.
I'm going to send it over right now. In fact, there you go. So, your song that you wanted me to is that
that's
for the bottom
before
break?
Okay.
I figured it might be. I figured it might be a little setup. Yeah.
So, it is.
I'm not giving anything away, I hope.
So, what was I going to say? Oh, Camborne News. Oh, you're going to love this, Maleficus. Uproar. Camborne, main town, right? Have you ever heard of the short Whirlwind Sports? They used to have a few of them dotted around Penzance, Snooky and stuff. Anyway,
not sure.
Doesn't matter.
Might recognise the logo, but...
Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's been closed down for about a month. And the other day I saw it seemed to be blacked out and stuff like that. Guess what it's been turned into?
Oh, go on, tell me.
A mosque.
Oh, well, I'm amazed. I'm amazed that all hell hasn't broken loose, because the last time they tried to put a mosque up in Cornwall, it didn't go very well.
Yeah, well, someone was telling me that they put a pig's head up outside one that they opened in Connor Downs, but yes, somebody put a photo up of all these shoes in the doorway and said, can you believe that this is now a mosque? So I've shared it, and now, like, there's, like, loads of replies and comments and everything like that, but... Yes. So we're now High Street. We've now got a mosque.
So, yeah, just by the fact that you've shared it, I just want to make sure that any practitioners of law listening, that wasn't an act of hopefully inciting racial hatred and all the nonsense. But shock. It's a bit of a shock.
Oh, absolutely.
For a Cornish community that obviously hasn't even been told that that's occurring.
No. Somebody said to me, I wonder who owns that building. And, like, I was telling my son-in-law, and quite naively, though, he said, he's got a point, but he's naive to the situation of what's going on. He said, well, isn't it nice, really, that an old building is being used? And he said, they could be getting together to do worse things than worshipping. But there's so many people that don't get what's really going on. And when our town, half of it is barbers and takeaways and stuff like that, it's just like, wow, I just can't believe it. Right opposite one of the main pubs in Camborne. So, and today in Buckingham Palace, at some debate going on about the new election coming on, they had a big prayer in the palace for, like, you know, that religion.
Yeah.
So, it's all very interesting.
Yeah, we're no longer a Christian based society.
No,
that's becoming very, very in your face obvious. And there's a lot of people who object to that. I'm sure there is an awful lot of people that object to that.
Well, they don't even learn. They don't even learn, like, the Lord's Prayer in school anymore. Simple things like that, because of the whole religious factor. But, I know what's going on in there now, but nothing surprises me anymore. And, you know, each of their own, but people can't see the bigger picture, and there we are, really.
Next to the, opposite the main pub in Camborne, as you say, you heard about, did we talk last time about the pub in Bodmin?
I don't know.
Okay, so the pub in Bodmin, Cornwall Pub of the Year, loses its award due to Nazi memorabilia on display. Did we talk about this? I don't think we did. So the pub won the award twice before, and the swastika emblazoned armband was still on display the whole time. So this is in Bodmin. There's a brilliant pub called The Hole in the Wall.
Right.
And if you go in there, not only do they serve pretty much all real ales, right? So that's a big thing in Cornwall. That's, you know, real ale. The campaign for real ale is a big thing in Cornwall. And they serve a multitude of real ales. And I can send you the little link here. And anyone that's interested, you can just email me at maleficus@outlook.com and I can send you any relevant details that you want to request. I'm just going to send this over to you, Shelley. So you will see from the photograph, I'm just going to describe it for the listening audience. So there's a man stood behind a bar, and it's a very old pub with exposed beams, and it looks like there's clutter everywhere. In actual fact, what you'll see is that there's an old clog, there's the nose from a sawfish, there is various sort of fishing and hunting items and all sorts of weird and wonderful musical instruments and all kinds of stuff adorning the ceiling, the walls, old beer mats from, you know, 100 years ago, boomerangs from Australia, you name it. And the reason it's like that is because the local community in Bodmin have been donating oddities and rarities for as long as the pub's been there. And they, yeah. You know, it's, you know, or someone that's won the prize, or you know, captured the, or caught the biggest fish that year, will have a wooden replica made of it, and it'll be adorning the wall somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
It's one of those.
It's full of oldie worldie stuff that is all relevant to the community. Now, the swastika armband in question has been on display there in a glass cabinet for 80 years,
right?
Since one of the regiments that was made up largely of men from Bodmin made it back from World War II with the odd trophy of what they'd been fighting against. So it really is, you know, forget what the symbol is on it. It's a real, real valid historical item that is part of that community and part of that cultural heritage, yada yada yada. It doesn't matter what's on it, you know.
It could be
an image of Muhammad on it, you know. They were not wanting to insult anyone, but it could
I was just looking through the comments, you know, and somebody said, is this, you know, the same badge that our former prince wore and did salutes at a party?
Yes, it is.
And who was offended and reported that? My God.
Yes. Well, the guy that reported this has never even visited the pub.
Right.
Anyway, I won't go into who he is. He lives in Truro, and obviously he likes stirring up a little bit of trouble here and there. Likes to be a public commentator, let's put it that way. But on the upside, the barley sheaf in Goran Haven has won Best Pub in Cornwall this year. So any UK listeners, or particularly Cornwall listeners, do go and support Tim and Terry over at Goran Haven Barley Sheaf. We actually played a gig there many, many years ago. Tim and Terry were the owners back then, but we played a gig back there probably about 6-7 years ago, maybe a bit longer. It's a great little venue, really nice place. So there are some nice things that occur in Cornwall.
Yeah. So have you had a good week?
I've had a great week.
Good.
I've been busy. I've actually been busy messing about in the studio, because I now my bandmate has upgraded the studio's computer, so I've inherited the old one with all the stuff that we've already done on it. So I'm able to sit there and tweak and play around with and redo bits and generally compose and have fun and lose myself in a really, really positive way, which is it's quite consuming once you get into it. So I'm hoping to recruit various folks to do various musical parts to it. So we'll see what happens with that. Yeah, it's going to be
sounds
fun.
Good.
Okay, well, look, we are just past the bottom of the hour, Shelley. So you guys out there are listening to speakfreeradio.com. We are Shelley Tasker and Maleficus Scott on the Kerno Connection. We are a live show every Wednesday. Coming up after us, at the top of the hour, is Authentic News with Jim Fetzer, which should be, well, always is an interesting listen. And yeah, quite often I'll, after I've had my little catch-up with various folks after the show, I quite often jump on and have a listen to what the subject matter is. It's well worth a stop.
I like him. He had a lady call in the other night, and she had a right kind of go at him, really, and about other things. And after she had a rant, he said, "You just speak from the heart. You tell it as it is." It was so funny.
He's very good natured. I do think he's very good natured. I think he's very, well, he's very opinionated. But who isn't in this game? But I think he's very, very, very tolerant of, you know, because sometimes you get some really awkward callers, you know. I think he's very tolerant, and he handles himself very well, I have to say. So anyway, so that said, we are well past the bottom of the hour. I've got a little tune here that I'm going to play to preempt Shelley's Kerno Connection this week. So hold tight, folks. This will be a journey and a half.
Christmas.
told you it would be a journey and a half. That was a journey to the fifth dimension, in fact. Yeah, the band The Fifth Dimension, Age of Aquarius. Yeah, haven't heard that for a long time, actually, before you got me to download it.
Yeah, thanks for that. Right, so the theme this week is astronomy, okay? And I thought I would tie it in. It just so happened that we had this big eclipse a couple of days ago.
Yeah, well, I thought the world was going to end.
Well, you know, things happened, didn't they? Apparently NASA sent rockets up and stuff. There's so much stuff I didn't know about and haven't looked into.
Anyway. Anything, I don't trust a word that comes out of NASA's mouth. I'm sorry. I just, you know, you may as well just have a turd fall in my drink as far as listen to NASA.
Probably. No, it wasn't from that. All these weird things were happening, but I haven't even had a chance to look into it. But my subject is basically on astronomy. So then I thought, ooh, that song, I love that song, is a little bit of the Age of Aquarius. Exactly. Yeah. And we're supposed to be in that now.
As to whether it occurred back then or whether it's about to occur. And there's still arguments going on as to whether it has occurred or not.
Well, people believe we are in it now. And I mean, if you're into astrology and stuff like that, for those that think that there's a big shift in consciousness and stuff.
They did back in 67.
If they win, well, true. But, they reckon the start of this year, January, really, and then heavily in March by the time change and stuff. Anyway, I don't know much about that, okay? Astronomy is the theme, right? So my Kerno connection, hang on, right, let's get the page. Let me just turn the light up because my eyesight is failing by the day. Right, here we go. Right. God, I can't even say the first letter. This is going to go down well, isn't it? And my mum has told me that I've totally mispronounced the word, but when I've listened to interviews about this, they say it different as well. So I'm just going with what my mum says, okay? Right. John Couch Adams, 1819 to 1892. He was an astronomer born in Llaneast near Launceston. Are you still there?
Suddenly, I am. I muted.
So you can cough and things.
I know.
That's all right. I just thought, I'm just checking. Right, okay. Right. John Couch Adams discovered Neptune, or as the papers would say, discovered Neptune. To put it exactly enough to lose the inverted commas, he was the first to work out that a hitherto unknown planet would be seen in a particular part of the sky if astronomers would kindly point large telescopes that way. Born in Llaneast, near Launceston, he was the eldest son of Thomas Adams, a small tenant farmer, and Tabitha Grills Adams. John Couch was fortunate in his parents because he was a prodigy, and they had the wisdom to encourage him and just enough money to give him a decent education. His love of the night sky became a passion for astronomy, and his talent for maths kept him outstripping his teachers, so they took him out of school and sent him for tuition to a relation of Tabitha's, the Reverend John Couch Grills. Meanwhile, the young man was teaching himself, rigging up homemade instruments and devouring the astronomy books at the Mechanics Institute in Devonport. Before he was 16, his account of a partial solar eclipse was published in the London papers, and at 20, he went to St John's College in Cambridge as a sizer, a scholar whose fees were met partly by domestic work. He graduated as senior wrangler and first Smith's prizeman, and soon became fellow and tutor of his college. At the time, astronomers were puzzled by irregularities in the orbit of Uranus, and John Couch Adams thought, even as an undergraduate, that the problem could be cracked mathematically. As soon as he graduated, he obtained through a senior college data on Uranus from the astronomer Royal Sir George Airy. He then worked out a new mathematical method to predict that the cause of its erratic orbit would be found at a particular point in the sky and would be another planet. Giving a copy of his paper to James Challis of the Cambridge Observatory, the senior colleague who had been so helpful, he wrote twice asking Airy to see him. No reply. So he left his workings at the Royal Observatory in October 1845, where they gathered dust. 7 months later, a French astronomer, Urbain Le Verrier, published a paper coming independently to the same conclusion. And in September 1846, a telescope in Berlin revealed what was later named Neptune. French astronomers wanted the credit by reason of prior publication, the British by reason of having done the sums first. Not everybody believed the British claim, even in Britain, for how could Sir George Airy have ignored Adams' paper? And how could Adams have been so unpushy as to have said so little for so long? In fact, Adams had good reasons for his silences, and had anyway spoken to others than the astronomer Royal Sir George, faces the sharper question, and comes out of it at best careless, at worst arrogant. History has ruled it an honourable draw in Adams' favour, and with the added irony that their joint success was actually a fluke, because although their maths were right to the data that they had been given for Neptune's orbit was faulty. To Adams, the glory meant nothing. He and Leviera became good friends. Caroline Fox had the whole story from him at dinner, maths and all, and wrote on 7th of October, 1847, "The delight of working it out was far more than any notoriety could give. For his
notoriety.
For his love of pure truth is evidently intense, an inward necessity unaffected by all the penny trumpets of the world." He became president of the Astronomical Society, a fellow of the Royal Society, professor of astronomy and geometry at Cambridge, and an honorary doctor of five universities with whom he had worked. But offers of a knighthood and the post of Astronomer Royal must have rung in his ears like the calls of penny trumpets, and he declined them. His work was on the astronomy of the solar system, but his interests were limitless. They covered many sciences, history, theology, novels and politics, and he forgot nothing that he read. People of such brilliance can terrify, but he was gentleness himself, and it is hard to find anything written in his dispraise. Sabine Baring-Gould met him several times and described him as a simple child in many things. Indeed, he struck me forcibly by his great modesty and sweetness of manner. Decidedly shy, he did not marry until he was 44. He was always close to his remarkable family, the publisher of his work, like himself. An FRS and a professor of astronomy was his own youngest brother. There are memorials to him in Lancaster and at Cambridge in Pembroke College and St John's. His plaque in Westminster Abbey, near Newton's grave, is the kind of accolade that this unassuming man fled from all his life. And that's that.
Wow. Yeah. But, that's. Do you know what's so lovely is that he was blatantly very Cornish and humble.
Yeah.
Just like, what I don't need, you know, especially if he was into politics as well, he probably just thought, I don't want any truck with any of that nonsense. Just, you know, I do what I do because I do it. I don't do it for all your, you know, nonsense and pomp and circumstance, you know. Yeah, what a lovely story. That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was just sad, really, because he didn't really get the recognition. But then apparently, some 200 years ago before, Galileo had seen it, but he didn't know what it was. He didn't suspect that Neptune was a planet. So you could probably say that he had discovered Neptune at the time.
I dare say, I'm not being funny, you could probably say that the Egyptians discovered it as well.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, and so on and so forth before there. I mean, you look at how the pyramids are laid out. So, the thing is, it's more about the fact that, it's more about documenting what we know now about the night sky, and I'm not talking about anything that NASA gives us, just to draw a line under that. but, you know, it's the observations of an honest and I won't say simple, but simple, you know, with the simplicity and honesty of a child. He obviously was a simple man with simple values who had a great intellect.
Yeah, but the maths, I mean, I watched, like, videos and stuff. My God, I can't imagine being that clever.
If he was running circles around his teachers at the age of 16,
yeah,
it's no wonder that they gave him... What did you say it was? It was a type of bursary whereby you had to work for part of your keep.
Yes.
Because, you know... Normally, if the college pays for your education, it's called a bursary. They just give you a bursary, and it's all bought and paid for. So he obviously wasn't of noble stock, didn't get given that opportunity, but he was allowed to, you know, work his way through it. So
yeah.
Which obviously would have added to him being humble as well, because there's nothing like a hard day's work, an honest day's work, to keep you humble.
And out of interest, did you know that? but it was a Cornishman that supposedly discovered that.
No,
tune.
I didn't. No, oh, right, no, okay. I had no idea. No, it's a new one on me. That was fantastic. Really enjoyed it. Okay, really enjoyed good. It. Thank you. Yeah, great. Again, we enlighten each other each week with different things. It's great. I love it.
The Cornish did so much, though, didn't we? We've done
they
so
really
much.
They really did. Never realised until, you know, didn't realise that we were the centre of the universe at all.
No. I'll be screwed when I've read, like, this 101 Cornish Lives, when I've done 101 episodes from this book. But no, it's great to think, woo, you know, there's
more
to come.
Did you have a glimpse of that book that I sent you last week, the Cornish Saints and Sinners?
No, I didn't.
It is well worth a little look through at some point if you want any ideas for other Kerno Cornish.
Okay.
I've used it twice in a year and a half. Yeah, there's just insights in it that you won't get on any Wikipedias or anything like that because it was written back in 1915.
Right.
So, yeah.
And you have to find these quirky little things, don't you? Like, there's a lady that's, I think it's called the Cornish Bird. She does a podcast and she does all Cornish things. And some of her stuff I love, but it depends if it's interesting to you as the viewer, doesn't it? So I think kind of like with this book, there's so many things actually. And you think, oh, that's interesting. And then it's like with the eclipse this week, and I thought, oh, right, okay, this will do. So
They're very good. Very topical. Well done. Me and Andy did a show on Sunday called The Show at the End of the Universe.
Yeah, I did listen.
Based on Douglas Adams, The Restaurant at the End of the Universe, you know, because obviously there was no tomorrow afterwards and all that kind of thing. So, but it was all tongue-in-cheek because he did ask me at the beginning of the show, he said, do you think anything's going to happen? And I was like, big fat no. No, you know, same as all the other eclipses that happen on a regular basis. You know, people that chase these things across the planet, what does it matter, you know? I wish I had that sort of money to chase eclipses across the planet.
Yeah.
No, Shelley, that was excellent. And
excellent.
Really, again,
thank you.
What this is about, again, it's about, just to reiterate, because I'm told all the time from all directions that radio is repetition, what this is about is really... me and Shelley each week pick a tiny, tiny little part of our own, because we're both from Cornwall, both Cornish, our own cultural heritage, and we just bring it to light. That's all it is. And in the hope that others will look into, if they find that slightly interesting or whatever, look into your own heritage, cultural heritage, and see what you can dig up. You'd be amazed. Every week, I'm not being funny, I didn't know how much fuel we would actually have for this fire until we started doing the show.
No.
And there's an awful lot of it. And I think it would be the same all the world round. Every little province, every state in the US, every little, you know, tiny backwater place in the middle of Calcutta or wherever, it's all got its history and its heritage. So, so that's what it's about. That's why we do it. Well, if I had a little xylophone jingle, I'd play it.
It's all right. I'll do it. Okay.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you. High praise.
I'm glad you didn't big yourself up too much with that. You know, didn't embellish too much on the end of that. I didn't want you to get more notes than I got last week.
Oh, you counted, did you? You wait. Next week, it'll be like a...
What's that guy who's... Yeah, you'll be playing with two beaters in each hand, won't you? Like those Glockenspiel players.
Why not?
You'll be playing Flight of the Bumblebee on it or something. You know?
Oh, God. I love it. I've got a harmonica here. No, not a harmonica. What do you call it? Those squeezy things. Squeeze box. You pull it in and out.
Squeeze box? Have you really?
Darren bought me it for Christmas. I've probably had one go on it. But I just like toys Maleficus. All right?
I like toys. I've got... I'm a proud owner of 5 guitars.
Yeah, typical man.
and all sorts of gadgetry and books. I love books. That's a big thing for me. Negating the need for books, did you realise that here in Cornwall, someone has bailed or dished out £41 million for WilderNet to put in fibre optic across most of the rural parts of the county. I've got my bandmate who lives out in the middle of the sticks. I'm not being funny. We can turn our amps up to 11 and we're going to annoy maybe one person. He's even getting 200 megabits per second out where he is. And I said, mate, Jeff, 41 million rolled out. And who's paying for this? Why do they benefit? Why do they benefit?
Well, they're putting one in just down the road from us.
Yeah.
I don't think people, all they think about is, oh, faster internet. Yeah. They don't think about their health. And part of me wonders, when they all roll out, are those people that have had the jab, and this is my conspiracy brain going, is there something that could trigger something that's inside of that? I don't know.
In my mind, no.
No, but there's a lot of sickness from frequency, from Wi-Fi. Me and my other half argue about it. Well, we don't argue, we have words.
Some people are particularly susceptible to Wi-Fi. All of us are susceptible, but some people are particularly susceptible. And as I say, Wi-Fi, radio waves, radiation, none of it's good for you. So yeah. Radio waves below or above a certain frequency are really bad for you. And I say, there is no difference to high-powered radar than there is the microwave in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Have I said this before?
I don't know, but okay, I know.
Okay, so it's exactly the same technology. And the reason, do you know how they discovered microwave ovens? How they discovered that it might be a something that you could become a commodity?
Was it at the bottom of the sea?
No.
Oh, right.
No. It was the guys on American naval vessels realised that if they went out and stood out in front of the radar on cold nights on watch, they'd be warm.
Okay.
And it would melt the chocolate in their pockets. And probably give them, hideous cancers in later life.
It's quite frightening, really.
Food,
yeah,
doing that to your food and then consuming your food. I don't know. I don't know whether it's just as simple as vibrating water molecules inside a piece of food and the friction causes it all to heat up. It all sounds a little bit...
definitely. And none of us have been asked. And, from Wi-Fi, electricity, I think there's so much more going on that we don't know about. People do get ill from it.
Yeah, well,
electricity as a healing years ago? Use it as a form to do things to change the body and things like that. Anyway.
Well, you can still do acupuncture with electromagnetics, can't you? So instead of using needles, you can use electromagnetic little magnets, little powered magnets.
On the other side of the spectrum, I've told you before about that book I've got, The Invisible Rainbow, and it's about when electricity first came out and how people were ill. And one of my Kerno connections that I did probably 6-7 months ago was on Marconi.
Yeah, Marconi and the transmissions.
And his wife was really sick and they had to move straight away and he was getting blood noses all the time because they were living next door to this great big bloody aerial.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they, I don't know, do you know how they died? I don't know.
No, I'll have to redo that one. So well, that's what clarify. We'll start doing, redoing Kerno connections.
Yeah, we'll this one revisited. There's an update, yeah.
Yeah.
Update from a very old subject. No, I just find it interesting. Just to clarify, by the way, that it's not wireless that's being rolled out. It's fibre optic that someone has spent 41 million on.
Oh, right, okay.
So, but I get what
but
you're saying.
Is that
saying
still 5G?
No, it's fibre optic is literally glass cables. So they it's because light travels faster than current.
Right.
So they use light because it's a faster connection. They use so literally, if you shine a light at one end of 3 miles of fibre optic cable, if you shine that light, it'll travel. The light protons will travel down that piece of cable at the speed of light, obviously. Maybe with slight resistance, I don't know, with it being glass. But it's a lot faster signal, let's put it that way.
Right.
But the fact that it's being rolled out into really, really remote places shows you that they are planning on sticking smart meters on flipping everything, you know. And yeah. Just to add insult to injury, the BBC this year are turning off, I think this year or next year, are turning off the signal that tells all the normal meters when to switch over to economy. So if you want to benefit from the tariffs, you will have to switch over to a smart meter. Isn't that sneaky? Anyway, that's it for this week, Shelley. That went blooming quick. Well done on the Kernel Connection.
Thank
Fantastic.
You. Good chat. Yeah. Nice to chat to you, Maleficus.
Take care.
Hope you guys enjoyed it. Yeah, have a good week. See you next week.
Enjoy Jim Fetzer.